Second hour of Bulldog Live underway right now here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077. Brian at BrianTilton.com. And as part of our continuing coverage of the Northern Pass Project proposal, there's a story by the union leader that it's headlined, Forest Society tells Northern Pass, hey, we own the land under Route 3. Yes, great to see that one this morning. As I've raised a lot of questions ever since Northern Pass's new route announcement and looking at where they propose to go underground, which is primarily on state and town-owned roads and possibly the Connecticut Lakes Headwaters tract, and you know, as an alternative route, which, yes, they did put that in their proposal, in their revised presidential permit application, that they would want to go through the Connecticut Headwaters tract. And that is the largest conserved piece of land in the state of New Hampshire. But anyway, looking back into the roads issue, as we've covered from a couple of different standpoints, particularly with Stewartstown Selectman talking about this, and now you know, when they met with a contingent of PSNH officials a few weeks ago, there's been a little bit of research that's been done by the Forest Society, and Jack Savage joins us now to give us the latest update on this. And Jack, welcome back to Bulldog Live.
Good morning, Bulldog. How you doing?
Good morning. Well, I know you're probably very, very busy today.
You know, actually, we've been busy with our attorneys over the last several weeks trying to do our homework and understand these issues. I think you know, Brian, that roads are very complex and the issues surrounding them are very complex.
Yep.
And, you really have to dig into the specific status of a given road and various easements that may be granted along that road or across that road or what have you, and you can't assume that the ownership along one section of road is the same, you know, even a few yards up. You really got to research the very specific situation and understand it, and that's what we've been doing. So actually, the busy work has been the last few weeks, as we've did, as we said we would do, which was to take a look at the proposed route that Northern Pass announced a month ago, and really understand ourselves what we owned and what they were proposing to do. And one of the things that we can talk about it now is that we have concluded with a very high degree of confidence that we own not only both sides of Route 3, just in Clarksville, just south of the Green Bridge that where it crosses into Pittsburgh, but we own underneath that road. In fact, we own underneath the river up to the center line of the Connecticut River. And that's important because a private developer, Northern Pass, has proposed to bury something as part of a private commercial development on land that we own. And so that leads us to what we think is a pretty simple question. How is it that they propose to do that without making use of some form of eminent domain by some entity? And it would have to be some government entity, because it's really only the government that has the power of eminent domain.
Right, and it's actually very interesting because as Martin Murray is quoted as telling the New Hampshire union leader that basically the eminent domain issue was solved a year ago. And he says, raising the false specter of eminent domain is both misleading and disingenuous. State law addressed this more than a year ago. And they also paraphrase, the legislature passed House Bill 648 in 2011, or actually finally passed in 2012, prohibiting for-profit utility projects from using eminent domain to take private land. Well, here's the thing, Jack. Because we look at what is a town, and this goes back to the complicated issues of roads, town-owned, state-owned, privately owned, and the like. Here's the problem. Eminent domain only protects private land. It doesn't protect government-owned land, Article 12A in House Bill 648. So that was the very interesting thing that I found very curious when they announced this new route nearly a month ago. and they're hoping to use the SEC process to use these town and state-owned properties. But now that it appears to you guys that the land is owned by the Forest Society under Route 3, now we go back to private ownership, and now what happens? So it'd be very interesting for Northern Pass to try to explain that one.
Well, we would certainly be interested in hearing the answer to that question. We think it's a particularly pertinent question. I mean, if you think about a private developer at the municipal level, let's say a home builder, comes before the planning board to subdivide and build one home or six homes or what have you. And one of the first things the planning board is going to do is make sure that the developer can demonstrate that they control that site, that they own the land or they're working with the landowner of the land before they even accept an application for such a proposed development. And so that raises the question. Northern Pass is a private developer of a private transmission line. And should the Department of Energy or the SEC or the White Mountain National Forest, for that matter, accept any application for a proposed transmission, private transmission line, without them demonstrating clearly that they have site control? I think that's a fair question to ask as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. 1-866-823-1077. Jack Savage joining us from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests, forestsociety.org. This is an issue that I think members of the Forest Society, and I don't know who it was, did you guys meet with the Stewartstown and Clarksville selectmen this week?
We did. They invited us to come up and sit down and talk over some of these issues, and we hadn't had the opportunity to do that over the last couple of years. And so my colleague Will Abbott and I ventured north and sat down with a joint meeting of the Pittsburgh and Clarksville Select Board and then a separate meeting, the Stewartstown Board of Selectmen. And we were there to listen to them and hear a little bit about what they had learned from Northern Pass and how they felt about it. And also we were there as landowners. We own land in Pittsburgh. We own land in Clarksville. We own land in Stewartstown. And help them understand how we feel about Northern Pass. I think it's pretty clear to most people that we oppose Northern Pass as proposed, but we wanted to let them ask us any questions and convey, you know, our overall sentiments about the project as proposed.
So how long did it take for your attorneys to research this issue?
Well, you know, the specifics of Northern Pass's route were announced on June 27th, and so it really took 3 or 4 weeks for them to follow the paper trail, part of this is trying to determine whether or not there are other interests that exist in addition to the fee ownership, and understanding what does exist and what doesn't exist, and where it exists, and what those specific boundaries are, and that kind of thing. For example, if you go just north of that green bridge on Route 3 on the Pittsburgh side of the land, there are stretches there where the state clearly does own the underlying fee of that state highway. However, on the south side, we happen to own the underlying fee.
Is that's the area around the Washburn Family Forest?
That's correct. And you know, we acquired the Washburn Family Forest back in 2008. It was a fairly significant campaign. It's about 2,100 acres of working forest that we're managing for forest products and recreation and wildlife habitat. There's a significant snowmobile trail, as I think you know, that crosses it, Trail 128. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't acquire this property with any mind to Northern Pass at that time. We acquired it as a conservation project, and it's conservation land from our standpoint. And as such, we as a land trust, we have a responsibility to our members, to the donors to that project, to the other funders of that project, to defend that conservation land from the kinds of things it's meant to prevent. And one of those things is commercial development. And it's quite clear that Northern Pass represents commercial development. And to that extent, we have an obligation to protect protect that land from Northern Pass being able to build across it. But we didn't actually go out and acquire it specifically to stop Northern Pass.
No, because that was back in 2008, which is two years before Northern Pass was revealed to the public.
Right.
Okay, so you own that land, the Washburn Family Forest, people who drive up that part on Route 3 before they get to the Green Bridge, they see the sign on the right. You own under the road, so you own a little bit on the other side of the road, too.
Am
I correct?
That's correct. We own to the center of the river.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. See,
and,
folks?
And if I would remind you that their proposed undergrounding includes going underneath the Connecticut River.
Which, again, the Forest Society owns that portion up to the center line of the river.
Right, we own the land under the river, and so that once again raises all sorts of issues that focus attention on the question as to whether how it is that Northern Pass believes that without eminent domain they could place that section of their transmission line there.
Well, you know, it takes us back to the earlier statements from Northern Pass, both to the legislature and elsewhere, and to various media outlets where they said this project is not dependent on eminent domain. Well, judging by the new route that was announced last month, you look at where they're proposing some of these things and you're wondering, well, gee, that land that you bought, you're not using a lot of that land that you bought. Obviously, the Forest Society's Trees Not Towers campaign was successful in blocking that developing route. So they go back and they tell the Stewartstown Select Board, as was reported in the Colebrook Chronicle, we believe we can use these roads. We believe we can take these portions of the roads. And, you know, they may not use the term eminent domain in this case, but I don't know how else it can be interpreted.
Right. You know, they have also made the statement that they were working with willing landowners. And to that extent, we are not a willing landowner. We are not freely giving over our property to be used by Northern Pass, nor have they asked us to do that. And so that, you know, there's a fundamental disconnect here that if we own that property, and if we are not a willing landowner, there's got to be some sort of legal force used for them to condemn that land and effect taking in order to make use of it.
Wow, this is it goes back to what I saw back in 2010. When they drew a line on the map showing where the route's going to go, and a lot of people had to learn about the route in the newspaper and other media reports, including the original alternate route that was going to go by way of Dalton and that area. And Northern Pass later, when they were questioned about, well, gee, didn't you scope out this route before you drew the line on the map? They go, no, we just had to draw a line on the map so we could show the Department of Energy that we had an alternate plan.
So
you begin to wonder, since they haven't talked to you, you're the third one to tell us now. Clarksville selectmen were not consulted before the line was drawn on the map. Neither was Stewartstown Select Board, and now the Forest Society. So I begin to wonder if anybody did their homework before they drew the line on the map.
Well, you begin to wonder whether that there were forces outside of the state that were demanding some answers, you know, maybe some folks out of Quebec or some folks on Wall Street who were really exerting some pressure on Northern Pass to make some headway, and the question becomes whether what's really going on here is that they drew a line on the map so they could make an announcement, but they haven't really done their homework in order to know exactly how they're going to make this happen. But so, that they felt, for some reason, that they needed to get a route out there. It seems fairly evident that they really were counting on being able to breach the Connecticut Lakes headwaters, and once it became apparent to them that was a cliff that was far too steep to be able to climb legally, they needed some other alternative, and they threw something together.
Yeah, and so that's still an issue that I don't think has gone away, and I think there's going to be a big story to tell about the Connecticut Lakes headwaters track, especially in the public scoping comments with the alternate route and people's opportunity to talk about that. But also, we have under this new route the second crossing through the White Mountain National Forest, and that is most notably through the town of Stark. Do you have anything you can offer us, any insight on that?
I don't know that I have any particular insight. You know, the Northern Passes, through their public comments, they've talked a lot about the 8 miles that they're going to bury. And
mm-hmm.
I got to say, I don't think burying 8 miles out of 187 is anything to be particularly proud of, especially when you're still talking about erecting 1,000 towers through any number of conserved lands, and you're in fact adding another section of the White Mountain National Forest. You're adding another one of our forest reservations, the Kalfman Forest in Stark. You've got towers as high as 150 or 155 feet down in Allenstown. This is just tremendous impact up and down the state, and to sit there and point to 8 miles underground along a dirt road that you don't necessarily have the right to do anyway seems somewhat weak.
All right, Jack Savage from the Forest Society. ForestSociety.org is their website. You can get more information as well. Jack, I look forward to more updates on this because I guess it's hard to say at this point what happens next with this information that you've come up with. I don't know. What happens next?
The one great question I would reiterate is, you know, really, is there a complete application before the Department of Energy? Can they go forward with scoping hearings and EIS when, to date, Northern Pass has not demonstrated that they're, in fact, able to build what they're proposing to build.
There you go. Jack Savage from the Forest Society, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care.